I'm kind of trying to, I don't know, take computer aesthetics and make them a little more human, or maybe take human aesthetics and find out what happens when you move them a little more in the computer direction.
Hi, everyone. Welcome, and thank you for joining me. My name is Franco Vriano, and I'll be your host for the Tech Plus Art podcast. Tech Plus Art is the community for curious individuals and creators who are looking to make a dent in the universe. Together, we're exploring the new frontiers of creativity, humanity, and how emerging technologies will continue to shape our culture, professions, products, and much more. Join me on this journey as we speak with artists, makers, researchers, designers, and creators from all backgrounds and fields. Tech Plus Art is an inclusive community, and we make our content for you. So we want to hear from you. If you have any feedback, suggestions, topics you'd like us to explore or contribute to yourself, reach out to us on Twitter or via the website. You can check us out at maketechart.com or at maketechart everywhere else. So with that out of the way, let's get to today's episode. Today we're speaking with Tyler Hobbs, an artist working primarily through programming. Tyler joins us to share his story, combining his love of art and computer science, as well as the challenges of balancing the needs of a growing business. He also shares his creative process and how he's approached making generative art over the last 5 years, while the creative coding and art worlds have evolved alongside him. I had a lot of fun chatting with Tyler and know you'll enjoy the conversation. I also definitely recommend checking out his incredible work online at tylerxhobbs.com. That's tylerxhobbs.com. And of course, following along on Instagram at tylerxhobbs. And with that, enjoy the show.
Hey, Tyler, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to talk about artworks, my favorite thing to talk about.
Wicked. Yeah, no, I'm very excited to have you on today as well. And it almost didn't happen with the recording software here, but we worked through it. So this is awesome. But, you know, before we dive into the topic of art and code, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Like, where are you from and what was it like growing up?
I grew up in Central Texas, kind of medium-sized town. Really like to play with Legos, draw. Once I found skateboarding, that was pretty much it for me. Love skateboarding. Did that for many years while my body could handle it. Was always into music. Played in the band and then played guitar and then ended up being a drummer for a couple of punk bands. But I also got into programming. My older brother was kind of a little bit of a hacker, so to speak. So that made me think it was really cool. And so I started programming and then did more of that in high school. Eventually decided to study computer science. It's kind of the starting point of all this for me.
Wicked. And so like at what point, you know, through that learning to hack and doing some creative stuff, did creative coding come together? At what point did you realize that that was a thing?
It was not an obvious thing for me. So I'd always been really interested in artwork. I did a lot of drawing and painting as a kid. I was fortunate enough to get to, you know, have some like private painting lessons for a while. I strongly considered going to art school, but opted for computer science instead. But I kept my artwork going. And so after college, I, you know, joined a startup and worked as a programmer, but I kept the artwork going and got more serious about it. Studied a lot of traditional drawing really intensely for a couple of years. And my artwork was starting to get pretty good, but it was very traditional work. And I knew that I needed to make it more personal. And to me, programming was a really big part of my life. And so I figured that I needed to try to involve programming in some way. The solution did not like immediately come to me, actually. It was funny, actually. I made a couple of really pretty bad paintings that sort of tried to mimic the style of the IDE, the programming environment that programmers work in a lot. So I was trying to take some of the aesthetics of that. But then I kind of had the aha moment of, what if I just try to write a program that creates a painting? What would that be like? And I didn't even really know there was this whole generative art scene. I didn't know about processing, which was one of the more popular pieces of software. So I just kind of started trying that out with some of the tools I had, which at the time was Matplotlib, which is like a Python scientific charting and graphing library. Not really designed for making artwork, but you can stretch it a little bit. And so I started playing around with that. Eventually discovered there was this whole scene of people doing this in a lot more organized way. They're better tools. And once I really started going, I saw it was immediately better than the other artwork I had been making. And it was what I was going to keep doing. That's awesome. I was hooked.
Yeah. And so when did you start that journey? Like, when did this realization start to happen in terms of, I guess, like years?
I really started doing the kind of the creative coding thing about five and a half years ago, and have been really focused on it ever since then.
Sweet. And so after some of those like first experiments, as you like discovered the scene and processing, like what are your tools of choice today? Like, how do you approach doing some of your art?
I still use processing, but I use it in a little bit of a different way. So processing comes with its own custom IDE, a little programming environment that is nice to get started with. But if you've been working as a professional programmer, you probably have kind of a suite of tools that you're more familiar with. So I use Processing really as a library that I can access. I use different programming language to kind of use the Processing API. I use something called Clojure, which is a Lisp dialect that runs on the Java virtual machine. So you can use Java tools like Processing. And I do most of my development, the actual coding, and just in Vim, which is like a really old school text editor. So I keep my text setup pretty simple and kind of developed my own suite of utility functions and pieces of code that I tend to reuse a lot. And that's really the most important part of my tooling, I think, at this point.
And how has that evolved? Like, at what point did you realize that like you needed to create some of your own tooling, or was that style driven, and or was it you wanting to explore building stuff?
It was pragmatically driven. So it was just a matter of really coding efficiency. Artistically, I think the style of coding is a bit different from what you do as a professional programmer. So when you're working professionally, you want these tools to be really well organized and to try to be really abstracted and generalized so that you can kind of reuse them in different ways. And the artwork, you don't really have the same demands of needing kind of professional level code. It's actually okay if you just copy paste some code and change a few things here and there. That kind of development is a lot more reasonable for an artistic workflow. And so I play a lot more fast and loose with my coding. Any sort of like tools that I've built up are really from things that I've used over and over again. And I really just wanted to optimize the use of that, you know, make it perform faster or easier for me to access.
Super interesting. And so with the creativity side of it, where do you find creative inspiration from? And does that inform, like, I guess, do you start with an idea of what you want to make, or do you start experimenting with some of these snippets of code or things that you've seen? Like, what is that creative process like for you?
Yeah, the creative process for me is very exploratory and experimental. If I have an idea, it's not an idea for the destination. It's an idea for where I can start out. And so sometimes I might start out with just the algorithm that I was working with the previous day. I might have an idea for kind of a small change for it or a big change for it that I just want to see what happens. I might be combining a couple of algorithms. I might have seen something maybe in nature. I like a lot of plants and rocks and just kind of weird patterns that I might notice in different places. So I might have an idea of how to recreate that pattern, or at least the key elements of it, in an algorithm. So I might play around with how to turn that into code. Sometimes I just start with a blank canvas and I just start throwing things at it. I just start drawing some rectangles and just arrange them in some kind of way, just to get something on the canvas. And from there, experiment with tweaking all the options. What if I, you know, rearrange them this way? What if I apply this sort of strategy for coloring them? This is what's awesome about the generative art mediums, that it is so flexible and so mutable that you can do this process that's entirely exploratory. You don't have to have the finished product laid out whenever you start. With something like traditional painting, you really do. You maybe not all of the details, but you want to have done your preparatory sketches and have some kind of an idea of where you're going for a lot of traditional paintings, but you really don't need that with generative art. And that's one of its biggest strengths, I think.
That's super cool. And so what has been like one of your most ambitious projects to date over the last couple of years?
Most ambitious project that I put together was probably for the solo show that I had at a gallery in Mexico last year, Galleria Dos Topos in León, Guanajuato. So I was fortunate enough to have a solo show there, and I prepared 16 works for that. And that was a really interesting challenge. I had never attempted to create that many works that all felt tied together before. As I just described, you know, a lot of my process is just very exploratory and experimental. And so many of my pieces tend to jump around a lot. And so it was a different exercise for me trying to create an entire body of work that fit together like that. I picked a single algorithm that was kind of the basis for the entire show and just played around with stylistically how to use it in different ways. Creating the work for that spanned, I think, 3 or 4 months. So that was the most ambitious project, and I'm very happy with how it came out.
Sounds awesome. And so with your background as like a little bit more, you know, you were talking about starting with some traditional art, like learning how to draw and painting, and then kind of becoming more of a programmer, is working with startups, and then realizing that you needed to like sort of marry the two to find a unique style. Like, how does that background sort of influence the way you approach building some of this tool or writing some of these codes? How do you think about what you're doing to help you realize the art that you're trying to put out there, especially if it's so different and exploratory all the time?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. I think coming from the programming background gave me the confidence to feel like I could write the code for whatever I needed to try to create. And it allows me just to work a little bit faster and more fluidly. But really, the programming part of it is fairly easy, in my opinion, compared to the kind of the artistic problems. So programming is like, you can study it in school. There's all these books that are laid out very cleanly. There's things like Stack Overflow and blog posts that you can read that give you really good directions for how to accomplish something through programming. And artwork is almost totally the opposite of that. It's really a problem that you have to figure out how to solve for yourself. And it kind of never gets easier. It almost gets harder as you continue working. You take on more and more challenging artistic ideas. You want to solve more complex problems or express more complex ideas. So for me, the programming, it is a necessary tool for creating the work, but I don't view the programming as being, it's not really the interesting part of the work in some ways to me. I'm really interested in the visual output. I'm interested in, does this image or series of images that I've created, does it capture my attention? Does it inspire me emotionally? And whatever programming it took to get there is what it is. I don't care if it, you know, used a fancy algorithm or some advanced mathematical ideas. So I think this is kind of where coming from that traditional painting background grounded me in thinking about those visual ideas first. So that's why I still kind of think about what I do as painting via other means. There's definitely a lot of non-traditional aspect to the work, but I'm just primarily interested in creating that visual communication.
Super interesting. How has that identity sort of evolved over the last 5 years? Some of the stuff you were just describing, like, have you always thought of it as that way? Like, you were always just trying to create art and technology was just the tool and some of those unconventional means? Or has that slowly changed as the industry has, or even the art world has sort of changed around it as well?
Yeah, it's definitely evolved over the years as I've been doing this type of work. I simplified a little bit with that. There are aspects to the work around the programming that I have found a lot of value in. So part of the motivation, I think, for the work that I do is that it's a marriage of computers and humanity. When you're creating work through something as raw as programming, it's very guided by what the computer can do naturally or what's easily expressible through programming. That's going to come out on your work almost no matter what. And so that's a huge influence stylistically on what I'm able to create. And what I'm kind of interested in is how can we add a little bit of humanity into that mix? Maybe make things that aren't so cold and hard and sharp, like the computer kind of naturally wants to put out. So I'm kind of trying to, I don't know, take computer aesthetics and make them a little more human, or maybe take human aesthetics and find out what happens when you move them a little more in the computer direction. It's kind of hard to describe, but there's a really interesting interaction between those kind of two aesthetics that I do really enjoy. I found a lot more value in exploring that aspect of the work as I've continued this.
With that work, is it just stuff that you always do for yourself, or do you sometimes do like contract work for other people? How do you balance like creating for yourself with creating for a living? Is it sort of one and the same, especially if you are a solo artist that's doing shows? Like, what's that balance for you?
I mostly am creating the work for myself. I do sell my work through my website, through shows, and I do contract work as well. You know, financially, there's a mixture of those. Mentally, I try to keep the two separate as much as possible. The analogy I like to use is thinking of it in terms of two different departments at a company. So I've got the art department, kind of like a R&D product design department, and then you've got the sales department. If your company's well run, you don't let the sales guys run your product department. There's a reason they don't. They make terrible products. Instead, what kind of needs to happen is your R&D team, your art department, it has its own particular strengths. There's things that it's good at. If you have employees, you know that the best thing you can do for them is to let them unleash their potential in the way that they really want to. That's when they're going to create their best work. And so sort of mentally, I'm letting the art department do its own thing. The finished product comes out, and then the sales department, it's their job to do whatever they can to make sales from that. I tried not to let the sales drive my artistic intentions. Of course, I'm human. I'm sure that always bleeds over, but at least mentally, that's kind of my strategy.
So a lot of your work is based on exploration, kind of getting there and then seeing, you know, where it goes. But I've also seen you post a lot of iterative photos. So it seems like you keep pushing some ideas forward. So like, how do you know where to invest some time in pursuing an idea? When is something done? But also, how do you not get lost in trying to figure out what something is, if that makes sense?
Yeah. In terms of ideas to try, I think it's really just whatever is kind of sticking in your mind a little bit. I think this is where the inspiration part comes a little bit. It's kind of more of a micro inspiration, if that makes sense. lately what I've been trying to do artistically is whenever ideas pop into my mind, not to immediately reject them, but oftentimes to actually just try whatever the first thing that came to my mind was and see if I can make it work. That's actually worked out really, really well. And I highly recommend giving that a try if you've never really fully tried to work that way. But with generative art, the cost of experimenting and then maybe walking back an experiment if it didn't work is very low. And so I just try it out. If it doesn't work, I can hit the undo button and try something else. In terms of the work being done, it's hard to know for certain, but I usually feel pretty comfortable about feeling when something is done. So there's kind of two big phases to each individual work for me. One of them is the exploration for the big idea. This is really the experimental part where I'm just digging until I stumble across something interesting. Once I've found that interesting core of the idea, then it tends to switch more into a polishing and refining phase. So I'm really just looking at every aspect of the work, seeing if there's anything that I could change that might make it better, anything I could remove to clean it up. Once you get to the point where you really don't have any ideas of how to improve anything else, then you're done. That's more or less how I get to the finish point for my work. And in terms of not getting lost in all of these ideas, I think you do get lost. So for me, a couple of things that are really helpful. One is keeping a sketchbook and writing down ideas so that way you can read back through them later and maybe find some ideas that you set aside. Number two would be to try and save all of the work that you do, all the intermediate work that you do. So I set up my tooling so that every time I run the program, it saves the image and it saves a seed, which is something that kind of allows me to replay that program at that state. A lot of times I'll look back through my folder of all the intermediate images that were generated while I developed the program. And oftentimes there's something in the middle that was really interesting. It was kind of a core of a different idea that I didn't fully pursue. And so many times I'll go back and kind of use that as a starting point for a new work. I found that to be very rewarding. So I definitely recommend saving all of your intermediate work if that's an option for you.
That makes sense. And so over the last 5 years, as you've been developing this artistic aesthetic and you know, your own personal art, leveraging technology as a tool, how have you seen both of those industries, creative coding, if you will, or generative art, and sort of the art world kind of evolve? What's changed? What hasn't? What's still missing?
That's a very complex question. Just in terms of what's changed on the creative coding side, I think the tooling is getting more and more accessible. So there's things like p5.js. This is a JavaScript version of processing. I think that tooling is probably a lot more accessible for beginners. There's lots more tutorials and great folks out there that are helping to get people started. And so I think more and more folks are starting to get into creative coding. And especially what I like seeing is that there are people that are joining that don't come from a programming or engineering background. People that come from an art background instead. Because if all you see is artwork created by engineers, you're missing a lot of valuable perspective there. So I'd like to see what other kind of outside groups can do with the technology. In terms of how the art world is evolving, I think the art world is behind on this front. The art world has really struggled with, first of all, just with grasping digital art in the first place. I think it still doesn't really know what to do with it because it's more challenging to monetize, for one. And then kind of on top of that, whenever you get into things like generative artwork, it's a lot more complicated. You have more complicated questions of ownership and authorship. And is the artwork the actual program itself, or is it the images that it outputs? A lot of galleries, a lot of museums, a lot of people from the traditional art world really don't know how to approach this field and how to deal with it. So I hope to see a little bit more understanding develop there about the practice of generative art, of creative coding, and the artistic value that it provides.
Totally agree. And so recapping some of what you've discussed in the last 5 years, like what's your day-to-day like? Like how do you spend your time thinking about running a business, being an artist, writing the code that supports it, and then, you know, keeping track of how these industries are evolving and like where you should fit? What is that time split for you?
It's very difficult. I'm sure a lot of people, you know, are very busy and very tired, but that's definitely true for me. I try to get my artwork in whenever I can. I do have a very large percentage of the time that I spend around artwork is spent on the business side of things. I kind of described this in a post on my site, but there's all of the promotion through things like social media, managing your website, managing your inventory of prints, doing the shipping, and the list goes on and on. It's a very long list of things that you need to do if you want to treat your art as a business. And so probably the time split between how many hours a week I spend creating new artwork and how many hours I spend on that side of it is probably about 50-50 at best, maybe. Of course, I also work as a programmer as well, and I have all the normal difficulties of life. And so it's hard to balance. My strategy has to continuously evolve to make that work. Like I have different needs at different times. You have to listen to your own body and not burn yourself out. It's tough. Sometimes you have to make the decision, am I going to spend the next 2 hours in the studio making some artwork, or am I going to go work out for the first time this week? And sometimes you have to work out if that's what your body needs. I don't have a perfect strategy yet. It's constantly.
Fair enough. I mean, if you had a perfect strategy, you know, we'd all be copying it for sure. But maybe on that note, in terms of challenging and like always being evolving and keeping all that in mind, like what's the biggest piece of advice that you wish that the younger version of you had received when you were starting down this path that you could share with others?
I think there would be a couple of things. The first would be artistically to not wait around for inspiration. So I kind of had this idea of how you made artwork when I was getting started, that you go about your business and then you get an idea and then you go and you make the art based on that idea. And that will leave you making like a handful of pieces of art a year. It seems like the mind and inspiration doesn't work that way. If I could give myself advice when I was starting out, I would say, just go spend your time sitting at the desk in the studio, ready to make some artwork, and just start with whatever you can. Maybe something good will come to you, maybe it won't, but the odds of inspiration coming to you are like 10,000% higher whenever you're already at the studio with the paper in front of you and you've got the time set aside to do the work. Don't bother waiting for inspiration. Just get in there. Even if you just doodle or make nothing, it's better to kind of just be ready for it. The other advice I would maybe give my younger self is not to underestimate the amount of time that the business side of things can take up. And maybe, I don't know, maybe to wait a little bit longer before starting that. Because once you start that, it takes up more of your time. And so the pace at which you can create new artwork goes down because you're spending some of your art time doing non-art creation things. And so I think you need to think carefully about when you want to start trying to convert your artwork into a business, if that's something you're interested in.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense. And so you were talking about some shows that you've done. It's a big exhibition week in Texas right now. So what's next for you? Are there any other projects or focuses that you can share? Anything coming up that we should be aware of or looking out for?
Yeah, absolutely. My focus right now is to push myself to create larger, more involved works. Works that are not just something that I spent one evening creating, maybe works that I spent a month creating instead. I've done those here and there, but I'm really trying to push myself to get there a little bit further. And so probably in the future from me coming up, you'll see some larger scale works, some really big plotter drawings that I've been kind of putting together ideas for a while. Other things that are coming up, man, it's hard to predict. I might be doing some designs of tiling patterns for a local restaurant here in Austin, physical tiles, which will be really cool. I haven't really gotten to work with that type of physical media before through algorithmic design. So it'll be really interesting to see what that looks like. Also have some upcoming plans for some murals in some buildings here in Austin. And again, working on that type of scale with physical media is a pretty different environment for me. I can still create the designs generatively, but I have to think about the physical execution of it. It's not just putting pixels on a screen. You have to be able to execute whatever you design. And so if I had to try and summarize, I would say experimenting with different means of execution. If you're a digital artist, a generative artist, that's kind of the default way of executing things is you make a digital image. And if you want something physical, maybe you print it out. Of course, that's how I started, but I'm really interested in trying to get beyond just prints and see what happens whenever I experiment with other physical media. Lately, I've been experimenting with doing some work with painted mirrors, for example. I've been painting mirrors and then using a pen plotter to kind of scrape the paint off the surface of the mirror, revealing reflective areas. That's been a really interesting experience trying out something like that. So any sort of experimentation I can do, different physical ways of executing the work, I'm starting to get more interested in.
That's very cool. I look forward to visiting Austin then and checking out some cool murals and you know, local restaurants with your sweet algorithmic tiling job.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope you can. I look forward to seeing them as well.
So I guess maybe on that note, since we're talking about Austin a little bit, what's it like being based there as this type of creator versus maybe some of the traveling you've done for work or keeping up with the community online? Like how do you see the community, I guess, down there supporting this type of stuff?
It is a bit of a tech city. I think it's maybe something like the number 3 tech city in the US, somewhere close to there. So it does have a good tech scene. The art scene is actually a little bit weak here. Some of the other cities in Texas, like Dallas and Houston, actually have a much more established art scene in terms of museums and galleries and kind of that traditional art world. But I think my art fits the character of Austin pretty well. I think it is a nice mixture of taking the tech and doing something interesting with it, not just doing your standard programming. I really love the culture here, and I hope that my art kind of reflects the culture of Austin in some ways. I wish the art scene was a little more established, but it's interesting to kind of to watch it grow. And sometimes it can make better connections, get to know people a little bit better when the scene is younger and a little fresher. yeah, I've met a lot of great artists that have been really interested in my work and supportive here. Yeah, some of the creative coding stuff is going really well here too. There's some local organizations that teach classes around creative coding and help get people started. So I think the scene is doing pretty well here.
Awesome. That's really cool. And so, you know, throughout the conversation, you mentioned a few resources like Processing and P5JS. Are there any other places where somebody who is getting started can go check out any people, blogs, or you know, obviously we're going to include your stuff, but any other sources that people should kind of check out and become curious about?
So I would say if you're looking to see kind of a variety of different generative artwork, I think one of the best places is there's a subreddit r/generative that's a really good kind of sample of different generative artists. I would say if you're looking to create work yourself, one person that seems to be a really good resource is Daniel Schiffman. I think if you just Google that, you'll find a lot of good videos. I think he wrote the tutorials on the Processing website as well. And from what I've seen, that looks like an excellent resource for getting started. And there's so many artists and different sites that I would plug, but that list is probably a little bit long. My main recommendation for people who are looking to get started, if you do have a programming background, it would be just to pick whatever tooling is most available to you in your preferred programming language and just start with the experimenting. I don't think you necessarily need a perfect guide to really create artwork. I think you can kind of just dig in and get to the fun part of exploring and experimenting. If you don't know how to program, then I would recommend probably something like Daniel Schiffman's tutorials to get a little bit into that.
Yeah, awesome resources. Tyler, man, thanks so much for taking the time to be on the show. It was awesome to have a chance to speak with you.
Yeah, Franco, thank you very much. Really enjoyed talking about my very favorite subject here today, generative artwork. Anytime you want me to come back and talk about it some more, I'm happy to do it.
Well, that's a wrap. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Tech Plus Art podcast. We're a very small team behind this project, so we greatly appreciate all your support. If you love our content and these podcasts, consider leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts and sharing it with a friend or two. This really does go a long way in helping us get discovered and reach more creators. As always, you can find us online at maketechart.com and at maketechart everywhere else. See you soon.